woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
Oh, it's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... That's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Now, let's cut to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Well, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. Jack Silverman on the board. S&P futures down 7.25. NASDAQ futures unchanged. We were down more than that. Home Depot came out with earnings a little bit ago that showed a lot of expenses due to COVID. So they're down 560. Walmart just came out with really good earnings. They're up 465. So they're kind of balancing the Dow one way or the other here. Do we have Brendan? Was that him tripping
over? Yes, Chief, you do. I'm here.
Was that him tripping over his phone a second ago? Hey, Brendan, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Although I can't see anything. It's so foggy around here.
It's foggy here and kind of misty, too. We need a little more rain. So what's the deal?
Yeah, we can only use a little bit more rain, can we?
Yeah, what's the deal? You can't open, not that you want to, you can't really get much success from opening up the locks anymore because the lake's so high, and so Wacker Drive is flooded, and they had to go get homeless people with a boat, and you're homeless and you get flooded out. How bad is that?
That's pretty bad. Yeah, I heard about the Riverwalk getting flooded, Sears Tower, or Willis Tower, I guess it is, but the Sears Tower was flooded. They had to close that down. Boy, what's going on? This is like Armageddon.
Yeah, it sure is. I think, God, somehow or another, I think what's happening, people are using this virus to take away a lot of stuff. Boy, I spent my weekend, Audrey has a bunch of pals, so I was seeing them this weekend, and man, oh man, some of the discussions you have, I don't think this generation, or these people are as old as I am. Somehow or another, Brendan, this whole idea of what makes us American and the rights we have, I actually believe this stuff. The depth of that in a lot of other people is just not there. It's just, I'm not saying they're wrong, I'm just saying it's just not there. The idea that you can just change principles that have been around for 500-600 years on a dime because you feel like it. This is not just the Twitter world, this is, I mean, I'm horrified. I hope they don't mean what they're saying. I mean, but maybe they do.
What examples are you talking about?
I was talking to one lady, and I said, she goes, "What do you think of these people that are demonstrating with their guns and so forth?" And I said, "As you know, I'm not a gun person. I have my Floyd card, but I have no gun." And I said, "But these people are correct in the sense that we just tossed away the freedom of religion and freedom of assembly. And how is the Second Amendment any easy? Why is that any more sacred for people that just think they can do what they want?" And she goes, "What do you mean? How did you throw away freedom of religion?" I said, "Well, nobody go to church." She goes, "Well, you can go to church online. That's good enough." I said, "It's not your call. This is what's seriously pissing me off about this whole thing. That's not your call. In your mind, you figured out that looking at church online is good enough, but it's not good enough for somebody else. It's good enough for you. That's fine. That's what you should do. You shouldn't tell somebody else that they can't go to church, can't receive communion, can't light a candle. That's what they've done their whole life. That's what they want to do. It's not up to you to tell them not to. They have no idea what I'm talking about, Brendan. None whatsoever."
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? I don't get it.
It's definitely a tricky issue. I mean, I understand both sides of their argument. And, you know, there are a lot of people who wouldn't want to go to church during this time for fear of contracting the disease.
Well, then don't go.
Yeah, I see your point. But you know, I go back to the sacrifices that were made in World War II and the Greatest Generation, and for another set of the argument. And you know, like this, there was no end in sight. We didn't know on December 8th of 1941 how long we were going to be involved in a war. At that time, we also didn't know if we were going to be in Europe or just in Japan, because it wasn't until a couple of days after that Germany declared war on us. But still, you know, it was for the duration. When you refer to people back then, they were saying, we're in for the duration. But the duration doesn't seem to have as much patience. We don't seem to have as much patience for the duration as we did, or at least it has appeared we did as a country back then. And yeah, it's really tough right now because there's no end in sight, and there's a lot of activities that I think are removing the rights of folks. I mean, I understand the point about not being able to worship in church, and it does come down to the freedom of choice for a lot of folks that is being denied. I agree with you on that point.
Well, I think, Brendan, the subtlety that I can't seem to communicate to anybody. I'm becoming less of a communicator as I get older, it seems. The subtlety is that the tone has changed from, I get the freedom to protect myself, okay, and not go to church if I don't want to I get to tell you what to do because I feel that you're doing something. There's a huge change there. There's a huge change there. I said, let me get this straight. Now you think that you get to tell anybody, be it. But Brendan, we're not talking about just this disease.
Mm-hmm.
This is evolving. One of my friends told me last week that somebody sneezed behind him in line at Home Depot. He wanted to shoot him. And I said, what do you think he had? He goes, he probably had a cold. He has no right to give me a cold either. Okay.
That's a little bit too far.
Well, but you know what, Brendan? But you have your line. Don't assume other people have that line.
I understand that. Then that's always. I agree with you completely on that. That we all have our tolerance level, and we all have the right to make the choices that we make as who we congregate with.
Well, so here's where I'm going with this, and this is a problem I've had from the get go. Let's say it's a crisis. Let's say it's a pandemic. Whatever. Let's roll with it for a while. How bad does it have to be? For it to basically take everybody's rights away and make every governor and mayor a dictator without any process whatsoever. And I put you back into your time when you were middle-aged, 1968. Maybe you weren't quite middle-aged. You know, there was a huge pandemic that year.
Yeah, I saw what you passed out. I saw what you sent out. And, you know, quite honestly, I don't remember that at all.
You're a Mount Carmel guy. No, you went to Brother Rice.
Brother Rice guy.
Well, because John Flanagan said that he remembers it in the sense that there were, they didn't have school a couple days because a lot of teachers were sick.
Yeah, I have no recollection of that.
Okay, so I'm saying is, if you look at the Indiana stuff that I sent you last week, the Indiana, let's just say, for instance, well, I'm going to make an unequivocal statement. Germs were here before there were humans. They're going to be here after there were humans.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, they win a lot of the battles. They just do. We've done pretty well against some of them, but they still win a lot of the battles in the end. I don't know that we can change that, even though we're pretty egotistical. We try and we succeed in some places, but the study in Indiana. But let's just assume for a second that all those numbers are correct. That 2.8% of the population has had it. 1.7 still has it. 1.1 has the antibodies, and the death rate is 0.5%, which puts it at five times worse than a fairly bad flu season. I don't think it makes it five times worse than the worst flu season, but it's worse than a pretty bad flu season. And I'm going to say this 1968 thing, which was H2N3 or something, ended up being, call it 3.5-4 times worse than a regular flu. It was pretty bad. What's his name? Dulles died from it. A lot of celebrities did, like now.
Yeah, Tallulah Bankhead.
Yep. Yeah. So my point is, if we equivocally knew that this was five times worse than the regular flu, is all this necessary?
That's a value judgment that both the leaders have to make and that every individual has to make. What am I willing to do to take the risk of getting infected or not getting infected?
Well,
you're not going to eliminate the risk. At this point, it is so widespread, both around the country and around the world, that you're not going to avoid it. You're not going to avoid exposure to the virus all around. So it's a question of how much risk are you willing to take and how much risk can you mitigate?
Well, I guess what I'm saying is just, I learned this in trading, Brendan. It's a different world than the lawyer world. You reach a point in the risk where you say, okay, if Kennedy gets shot or Eisenhower has a heart attack, this is not a good position. And you say, okay, what are the chances of that happening? But there's always a risk in every position, no matter what it is. Usually the risk
absolutely.
Is.
I agree with you. Yep.
In a,
yeah.
So I'm going to say let's call this five times worse than the regular flu.
Mm-hmm.
Six times. And the one in 68 was three times, four times. Right? Let's just sort mm-hmm. of numbers out there. What does it have to be? I mean, I will not debate anybody that if some new vaccination resistant smallpox strain almost hit the place and 40% of the people are dying, I'm the first person to say, I'll be happy to stay in my apartment. Yet, I want to know where the number is, and I want to know what the process is. It's not just...
Yeah, but there's no universality about what that number is. You're never going to get even a consensus, never mind the majority, but you're never going to get a consensus that it's a death rate of 5% or 10% or 1% before we're willing to give up the rights. That's just not going to happen.
Okay, but I don't want it in the political sphere the way it is now, where the governor of Iowa says, I'm shutting down bars, and the next person says, what about restaurants? Okay, we'll shut them down too. Then the Illinois buffoon says, oh God, look what they're doing in Iowa. I better shut down car washes too. Well, what do car washes got to do? Doesn't matter. I got to do more than the guy in Iowa because I got to get on TV. I don't need this piggy. I sense that most of this is this piggy move-up. We got to have a bazillion ventilators. Now, what do? We gave them all back? We're giving them to Europe? I mean, the hospital ship, what do they have, five people on it and they turn around? The McCormick Place is shut down? I mean, this political panicking from Twitter and from 24-hour news, we can't get back to we can't get to the point where a regular flu season, you can't go out in the winter, Brendan. And I'm trying to find out what the next Pritzker has to do to say, the normal flu is here. This disease is 20 times worse. This is what we have to do. Well, everybody will say that probably he should do it at 20 times worse. Should he do it at 2 times worse? I don't know. But when you take the legislature and everybody out of the mixture, you take Congress out of the mixture, you take the city council out of the mixture, you're going to have a bunch of idiots running around making all these own decisions, and we don't need 200 dictators in this country, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
You're not agreeing with
that?
No,
I understand the point. But you know, on the other side of it, the leaders, the governors, were elected to make decisions for the mayor was elected to make decisions for the health and safety of the constituents. Now, whether they're going too far, that's certainly open for debate.
How does this mayor decide that she can raise the fine for somebody drinking out at 10:30 at night without going to the city council? Where did that happen?
It happened because in emergency situations, there's not enough time to respond when you're trying to gather 50 people in the context of the city council or a couple hundred people in the case of the state legislature to go through their normal processes, because the value of life lost exceeds the amount of time value that it would take to make that decision, regardless of what the decision is.
All right, so then in my mind, again, it's my own little corner of the world here. It's getting smaller and smaller. The idea of declaring an emergency, I can't declare an emergency because my underwear are soiled. I mean, it's you know, what constitutes an emergency, and how long can you hold into that? Is it 30 mm-hmm. days? I guess you can do anything you want for 15 days. I'll roll with that. Maybe 30, but 60, 90, 120? I don't know, Brendan. I mean,
I agree with you that the further you get out there, the harder it is to justify what's going on with just one person making that decision, whether it's a governor, whether it's a mayor, whether it's the president. I agree with you that the longer you're trying to hold those emergency powers and use those emergency powers, the less viable the argument is.
I talked to a lady yesterday who has not seen her niece. Her sister had a baby 4 or 5 weeks ago. I said, when are you going to go see her? Well, when the governor opens, says things are okay, you're going to wait for Jay to tell you when you go see your niece? For God's sake.
But see, that's not the qualifying point. Even if the governor or even if the mayor says we can open up our restaurants at full bore, 100% occupancy tomorrow, that doesn't mean that people will go to those restaurants.
No,
will go to the bars.
You scared the bejesus out of them.
That gets back to your point that people still have the right to choose whether they feel safe or not about doing this.
In order for the stuff to happen, for the governor to do what he's doing, they have to instill a bunch of fear in people. And I think they've instilled way too much.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fear. I know people that have not been out of their house in 42 days, Brendan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't. If you're 70 or 80, I get it. I don't see how at this point, if you're governor, you don't tell these nursing homes, hey, look it, the weather's getting better. You better have an outdoor area that you can that these people can visit their family. Don't be telling me in July you still can't get and visit your family. We're talking jail. I mean, these old people would rather die than be like that. A lot of them.
No, I understand that. And, you know, we don't know what happens when you're outdoors, but that's the same argument with opening up the lakefront. When you're in an outdoor activity like that, just walking in a healthy environment, does that mitigate the risk or does that increase the risk?
But, I have a listener from Ohio. She writes me once in a while. I don't know how she became a listener, but she goes, her mother's a nursing home. She and her daughter went on Mother's Day in an outdoor area. Chairs are a few feet apart. Everybody wore a mask. They had a nice visit. And she goes, if that's not good enough, well, so what? You know, I mean, because nobody can tell you whether it's 4 feet, 5 foot, 6 feet. Nobody can tell you if it's 8 feet. Nobody can tell you if it's 2 feet. I mean, they can tell you by liquid measures where something's liable to reach, but it can't tell you whether there's enough in that droplet to get you. If they get you infected or whatever. Anyway, we beat this one kind of to death, Brendan. I want to ask you, on the last labor numbers, I know you're not, you have a sense for this, even though you're not, you don't jump all over it like Carl. I'm kind of surprised. I don't know if you went through the household numbers here, like, how did we ended up, I'll just run these across. The population stayed the same, the non-institutional population. Okay, the people that are in the workforce, civilian workforce dropped by 6 million people, which is somewhat interesting. The amount of people.
How did that happen?
I don't know. I'll give you the numbers. Now let's figure out what the hell happened. The amount of people working dropped by 22 million people. The amount of unemployed went up by roughly 17. Now, this is the household survey, not the establishment survey, which puts us at a 14.7 rate. But 7 million people went into this final column of not in labor force. Now, whether that many people took their retirement, whether that many people somehow got on disability, where they just said, screw it, or I'm not looking for a job because there's no job. I mean, I guess if you're
I think that is the basis. When you take those three into account, that should make up the balance. The people who are, because the unemployment numbers, as I understand them, are people who are willing and looking for work. So when you're talking about the labor force, if somebody says, I've been looking for a job for 2 years, I just stop. I'm going to somehow survive on my own and, do something else. Or I don't know how I'll survive, but I'm not going to be looking for a job. They come out of the labor market.
Except I think, Brendan, these guys, imagine this, me saying something bad about our bureaucrats. I think they've gotten exceptionally lazy. And when I say that, if you're on the unemployment rolls, by definition, you sign up that you're looking for a job.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you drop off the rolls, I don't think they care or look or do any kind of testing to see whether you, in normal times, that's why the unemployment rate when, I'm not so sure when it dropped, somewhere in Obama's era, I believe, just to go through this, the state comes up, if you get laid off, the state pony's up 6 months, correct?
Yes.
And if all of a sudden it's a bad time, like now, the federal government can say, we're going to extend unemployment benefits to 12 months, but we're going to pay the states the difference, I believe is what happens. Okay, so when you drop back from the year to the 6 months, and all of a sudden now those people fall off, by definition, everybody getting a check is looking for a job because they say they are. As soon as you're not getting the check, I don't think that you... So does this mean that 7 million of these people either have not gotten their first check, which I think is probably what happened, or any kind of disability, any kind of retirement, but I think a lot of it is they just haven't gotten their first check yet. So if you add those numbers back in, the unemployment rate's really 20%.
Mm-hmm.
And
it is a lot worse, I think, because I've seen the anecdotal evidence that people are not able to get in to qualify, not only in Illinois, but in many states. The systems are not allowing them to apply for their unemployment.
Isn't that special that Florida sort of did that on purpose and now they're overwhelmed? But right now, if you're a cook, I don't know, I guess, or a bartender, maybe more so than a cook, because people are doing carryout. What's the point of looking for a job?
You know, that's one of the interesting things now that I don't know how many people are in this situation, but they're getting paid more through unemployment than they are if they were working their jobs, and that leads to another interesting question: that if I'm sitting home collecting unemployment with the extra $600 a week now, and I would be paid $500 less if I went back to work, am I going to sit here and take the regular unemployment plus the $600 and tell my boss that I'm not going to go back? I'm not, the short order cook that you just mentioned a few minutes ago. If he's making a total of $500 a week more on the unemployment benefits, and I'm offered the job back, will I go back to work? And so instead of hiring me back, my boss hires you back. And then at the end of the time when the $600 is no longer available, say, wait a minute, I want my job back. Well, you can't have your job back because I gave it to somebody else. You turned it down.
I think that's until the end of
July.
The end of July. We talked last Monday. I want to talk about that, so I'm kind of leading into it now. We have a little bit of time, not that much, but can you force somebody to come back to work? What Brendan's talking about is till the end of July, the federal government is giving people an extra $600 a week. And I'm going to say, Brendan, unspoken as usual, yet the gorilla in the room has to be your hospitalization.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're getting any kind of help with your hospitalization at work, $600 a week doesn't mean squat.
Right.
Because you're going to spend that whole thing on your hospitalization. Not all of it, but your family's got to be 15, 16 on, if it's a family, right?
Yeah, and I think health care is the big thing that has not been talked about at all in this whole crisis. Who's paying for health care insurance right now, and what happens if someone in your family gets sick, not just with COVID-related stuff, but, the guy whose 10-year-old kid falls down and breaks his leg, who's now unemployed because he's been laid off. How does he pay for that? And what happens with his insurance coverage? There's a whole other can of worms here that I think is going to have a really dramatic effect on the economy and the healthcare industry.
Brendan, real quick, maybe we'll talk about this later in the week if we get a chance. If somebody's out of work, a kid breaks his ankle or something or breaks his leg and he goes to county and gets it fixed, if you're not already signed up for Medicaid, you get a bill from county just like you would Northwestern, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, let's put it this way. You're supposed to. There have been a number of newspaper exposés that the billing system at Cook County is not the greatest. So they have lost millions of dollars over the years by not following up on their billing procedures. But yes, in theory, if I go to Stroger Hospital and they treat me and I have no insurance, then I am supposed to get a bill for the difference. And if I'm not on Medicaid.
So you know you're not it's not like you can just say, well, if my kid breaks his leg when I don't have insurance, I can bring him to county and it's free.
No, you will get a bill, but how aggressively they collect that is in doubt.
I think they can be pretty aggressive at it. I know some people who, you know, so let's put this way, enough to scare you. Brennan, we might get you back by the end of the week, because we got a couple of interesting things to talk about. Might have you on with Lou or somebody, because I got some interesting legal stuff to talk about. So I'm kind of combining two lawyers, because I don't know what the hell I'm talking about when it comes to that stuff. But all right, take care of yourself. SP Futures now only down 2. NASDAQ Futures up 13. We've got Walmart still up $5. Home Depot is down $4. Be right back with Mr. Joel and Cannon.
Have a good day, Chief.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering 3 of our research newsletter: the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top 3 tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, I'm right back to Jack's. I'm Tom Howell. Jack Silverman on the board. SP Futures down 250. NASDAQ Futures up now, 1075. We were down when we came in, but Home Depot had the earnings before we started the show, and that took the market down a little bit. Home Depot is down 398. We're down 6. Then Walmart came out. Well, I'm stunned. They're up 484. Let's see. You shut down all the other stores. Only Walmart's open and Target, and they do pretty well. Jack, does that surprise you? Is it, or are we supposed to be total dunderheads, as my mother used to say? See, you can't buy blue jeans anywhere except Walmart. I guess they sold all the blue jeans. Imagine that. Anyway, around the rest of the world, we've got the Dow's up 32. We've got over in Europe, the DAX down 26.2%, FTSE down 24.4%. Again, after yesterday's massive rally, these are very small. This isn't even a dead cat bounce the other way. Get around down 24.5% over in Asia. These guys are catching up to yesterday. A Nikkei up 299, 1.5%. Shanghai up 23.8%. Hang Seng up 453, 1.9%. Just as a review, yesterday's huge rally. Dow up 911, 3.8%. S&P Futures up 90. That's a full 3%. The NASDAQ, I think, was a little bit of a laggard. Up 220 at 2.5%. So, I had a couple stocks where I had long buried calls that I had forgotten that we were able to sell yesterday. I was pretty happy about that. So yesterday was a good one. Oil up 91 cents, 32.73. Brent up 13 cents, 34.94. Natural gas up a penny, $1.79. Arbob went down $1.03. I think my days of getting my gas for $1.81 are over here, at least for a while. Gold up a dime, 17.34. Silver unchanged, 17.46. Copper 241, back up over 240, so it's creeping just a little bit. Jack, what do you have for us? Traffic, weather, and sports.
Good morning, everyone. We're looking okay to start the morning on a traffic standpoint. We have an accident on the Eisenhower West at Reagan Memorial Tollway, which is causing some ramp restrictions. And we have some flooding throughout the city. We have a closure on Lower Wacker Drive between Harrison Street and Randolph Street because crews are pumping flood water out of the basement of the Willis Tower. With weather, it's currently 51 degrees in Chicago, cloudy and very foggy with a high of 57. In Phoenix, it is 71 degrees clear with a high of 90. Just like the weather, some cloudy news. Ken Osmond, who played Eddie Haskell on the hit show Leave It to Beaver, died yesterday at the age of 76.
What a classic role that guy had. Mm-hmm. You're not much of a Leave It to Beaver guy, are you?
A little bit before my time, but...
A little bit, yeah.
But I know the show.
And it's a beautiful apron you're wearing, Mrs. Cleaver. Go ahead, keep going. I'm interrupting.
And this day in sports, May 19th, 2007, the Cubs welcomed the White Sox and beat them 11-6 with a lot of help from a pinch-hit grand slam by Derek Lee in a six-run eighth inning. Chief.
The Eddie Haskell was one of the absolute great characters in all of now Joel's old enough to remember Eddie Haskell.
Oh, of course, Leave It to Beaver, Jerry Mathers. Oh, yeah. Back in the good old days.
I could see you you being the guy with the jalopy, Clarence Rutherford, Lumpy. give me a quarter's worth for the finest. Shows you what inflation has done, Joel.
Yeah. And boy, you don't see shows. I was even in black and white, Chief. That's how old we are.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had, in college, I had the 19-inch black and white TV, and we're only three stations. It's three South Bend stations, and we had a room dedicated to TV, and every sporting event, boy, we were loaded with people. And you know what else people absolutely loved after they did all their studying and stuff? I wasn't as much of a convert, but people were absolutely addicted to Johnny Carson. Every night.
The late night, yeah, late night TV, I mean, Saturday Night Live, you know, all those things where, I can remember when we were in college, we used to have, remember Dynasty? We used to have Dynasty parties, remember that show?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
John Forsythe, I believe, yeah, but now people just watch videos on their phone, Chief, that's what they do.
Well, it was kind of a the guys who were the studiers, okay. You after dinner, pretty much people locked down. Half the people went to the library, or three quarters of smart people like me stayed in their dorm room. Everybody else left. It's just as quiet there as the library, probably less quiet or more quiet. And then at about 10 o'clock, they opened up food sales in the basement of the dorm, and people ended up, you know, grabbing a bite or something, because you know, you eat like a timber wolf in those days. And all of a sudden, Johnny Carson was on, and people went to bed about midnight. That was their routine. I mean, and
were you at Notre Dame?
Yeah.
Okay. Of course. A little bit different routine there in Michigan, but I'm not going to go into the details on that.
Well, I of course had a bar that I could go to every night, so. every night of the week had some place. Anyway, interesting, Joel, that the Irish are opening sooner, the school. They're opening August 10th. I don't know what the motivation is for that. And they're closing before Thanksgiving without a break. Now, that's not... I'm glad they're opening. I'm just kind of curious as to why you would, of all years, you would decide this year is when you want to open sooner. But they are. And I'm glad to see that they are opening. And I think they're at least saying they're going to do, you know, social distancing and stuff. I suspect they try to start doing that, and if they don't have a problem, they go pretty much right back to regular stuff. You know, if there is a problem, then they'll probably have to reload again. What do you make of the market is resiliency? Yesterday was as big a day as I've seen in a while. I mean, obviously every stock that we had calls in that, you know, were dead and left for buried, all of a sudden we were able to sell them for something yesterday. So I had probably one of the out of the blue days that ended up being a good day that I've had in ages. And
very, very interesting day from a couple different perspectives, Chief. You know, first of all, you know, you listen to, you know, JP, Jerome Powell on Wednesday, and you know, you're talking about, you know, the hurt. He put the hurt to the market, and basically said the same things on 60 Minutes, and they loved it. So I think you really had a perfect storm yesterday. You had people perceiving Jerome Powell's comments as positive, that, you know, we're going to be slow through 20, maybe recover in 21. Then you have oil, right, over $30 a barrel, helping out the oil stocks. And Moderna, mRNA, on a trial, a very small trial, cures the coronavirus. So... Or, you know, creates a vaccine for it. So, you know, whew. I mean, you talk about, you know, a perfect storm for shorts coming in, leaving that way. You get it going. The bots don't care. And it was just off to the races. Absolutely incredible move. I could have gotten plowed yesterday. I didn't. And I actually did have, you know, one or two shorts that did go down, but they were kind of COVID stocks. So this market is... just looking at the glass more than full, overfulling, not even like half empty. And I hope the market's right.
I keep looking at my little identity, Joel, and I want to run it by you. The market, the economy's down, let's call it 20%, right? 15%, something like that.
Don't start using logic on me, Chief.
Oh, no,
I'm
just
get very upset.
I've disengaged from that. Because I've learned now after all these years that if the Fed is going to throw $2 trillion into the place, how much of that has made it to people like us? 50 billion? 60?
I haven't seen any.
The people around you got checks.
Yes, yes, yes.
So there's some number that they're passing out, and some small businesses. A lot of small businesses did get their loans that they allegedly will be forgiven. So it's not like there isn't some effort to drive some of this to, you know, the lower echelon more than usual. But still, the number the lower echelon is getting compared to the other people is paling in comparison.
Correct.
I mean, when you get somebody that already has a bond trading for, you know, 120 when he bought it at 100, and some dope from the Fed comes in and buys it for 130. I mean, when you know you're not even going to get the money, well, you might get the money back, but all it's going to take is one of them to default. Because you're buying them back at like 2%. So if one out of 50 default, you're a loser, right?
That's correct.
I mean, you really don't want to do this math. But
no, you don't.
Yeah, so the question is, you know, now what happens? And and you know, you've got incredible. I'm happy to see Walmart's doing okay, but I understand. Is this true? Kevin mentioned this, that in Michigan, your governor, I'll use the term, was smart enough that when she left Walmart and Target open, you had to put yellow. You couldn't go in the blue jean and mattress and other areas. Is that true?
I know she's taken some, you know, protective measures. I don't, and she's been criticized by the by POTUS for what she does.
Well,
I cannot verify that that's an exact measure. I do know that, you know, Detroit was harder hit than a lot of the, you know, the rest of the country, and she took very preventative measures, and she's being vilified for it. She is opening Northern Michigan up this weekend, just in time for the Memorial Day weekend. Restaurants and bars are 50% capacity. So she's been taking a lot of heat. But, you know, the main reason we needed to slow down, our hospitals were overflowing. So I can't verify that exact measure, but it sure didn't seem to hurt Walmart earnings here this morning, trading up $5.19. Everyone must have been going to Walmart.
Well, I'm saying here, I mean, our people are, I'm not calling anybody specifically, are so damn ignorant. If you and I have a blue jean store, we're closed, and yet Walmart and Costco and Target gets all the blue jeans they want. I mean, what is that all about? I mean, to me, that's unconscionable. Mattress store.
So you said that they left those areas open?
Oh, yeah.
Closed those areas?
Oh, no, they're all wide open here. All your mattress stores are closed. You go to Costco, you can buy a mattress.
Yeah, I mean, if the other stores are closed, that doesn't, you know, I think what you did was equitable. But, I mean, I think, it's something to discuss. It's important. I think what's more important is, the safety. And, you know, I hope this Moderna news is, you know, good. It turns out to be a vaccine. That's what the market wanted. We had managed to slip in and make a new high for the move yesterday, so keeping an eye on that overnight high, 76 and a quarter in the June spooze. Hey, Chief, I got a hop, but I just want to throw in one plug here. Have you guys heard of hotmic.io, hotmic?
I've heard of it, but I don't know what they do.
Well, they were originally set up for sportscasting, and if you wanted something to supplement Jack Buck or whatever, different people are broadcasting on their channel. And since there's no sports, they've been reaching out to financial people. And basically, every day at hotmic.io from 9 to 9:30, I'm on solo, and I'm commenting on what Jim Cramer and CNBC is commenting on, and, you know, looking at different stocks with people. So if anybody enjoys my commentary,
if you want more of it,
go to hotmic.io and use code Joel317. That's capital Joel, my first name, J-O-E-L, 317. Thanks, Chief, for the shameless plug.
Hey, no problem, buddy. I might pile on that myself. Take care of yourself.
Go blue. Go blue.
SP Futures down 2. NASDAQ Futures up 18. I think we'll be up again today. We'll be right back. Mr. Kenny Pulcheri.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources, licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. Do you know when the unofficial start of real estate season is in the Chicago area? It's actually right after the Super Bowl. Yep, it's the time when the guys will finally get off the couch and the families start looking for homes in the area. Now, interest rates also have been hovering around 4%, and the selection of properties are great. And if you're a first-time home buyer, there is an Illinois program that allows you to purchase a home for only 1% down. And that also applies to anyone who hasn't owned a home in the past 3 years. So if you're thinking about it, this is the perfect time. Call or email me, and I will send you a free list of homes designed to your specifications in your area. My phone number is 708-349-3456, or you can email me, AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com. That's AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, everyone. Thanks, Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Al. Jack Silver on the board. We have Kenny.
Hey, how are you?
Hey,
how
Kenny. How are you, buddy? What's a good word?
Good. How are you?
What's a good word other than where we rallied yesterday and everybody made money, even me?
I just put in my note, you know, it was like that Bing Crosby and Andrew Sisters song, you know, accentuate the positives and focus on all the affirmatives, right? Anything that could have been positive yesterday is what they put right to the top of the line. And any of the negative comments from last week and the weeks before were all turned positive. Somehow we forgot everything that was negative. And anything, they just put a positive spin on it. The algos go up and go crazy. Certainly, I think most of it was centered around, you know, this news from Moderna about how their phase one trials, you know, produced this antibody and all these volunteers, which is very exciting. Don't get me wrong. It is very exciting. But it's still a far away way. But it was enough to send the markets crazy, and it really reveals the psyche and investor mind and the market's mind that it's yearning for an end to this crisis and a return to some sense of normalcy, which I think is all great. But I think once this all settles down and people start to digest the news again, that this move, this 900 point or 3.8% move yesterday, is going to come back under pressure, and the market will remain in the range. It's in the 2720 to 3000 range.
I don't disagree. And I listen all day long to people on TV. By the way, I haven't seen you in a while, and you're one of my favorites. You are my favorite.
So. No, I hear you. You know what it is. Ever since this crisis hit, and it's affected small businesses and all that stuff, they've had a lot of small business people on. They've had a lot of broader macro global economic people talking about global stuff. You know, my role as a trader, quote unquote, wealth manager trader, falls a little bit lower just because all these other quote unquote more important people are up. They got the doctors, they got the CDC, they got, you know, so it's been, once it settles down, I'm assuming it's all going to go back.
I'm going to say that, they are missing. I have found that you can talk on any subject better than any of those idiots.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that, but listen, it is what it is at the moment, right?
Oh, I know, it is what it is. What you said, though, I'm going to push back just a hair. I love doing this to you. You can have 50 swinging goofballs, not that you're one of those, talk all day long when the market is going up about what the market feels and how it's looking for this, it's looking for that. Or you could, if the Fed's pouring in $1 billion a day, or if they were taking it out, like they have a few times, the market goes straight down, you could talk all you want about what the market's really feeling. The fact is, the Fed's putting money in or pulling it out. I mean, it's such a huge extent. It's almost like, you know, we're talking about somebody, when are we going to run our next 10K when a bone's sticking out of his leg and you refuse to treat it? I mean, it's like, okay, we can talk about all we want, but unless you fix my leg, I'm not going anywhere. I mean, the incredible amount, I mean, and how does Jay Powell get away with, he has all these different tricks and all these different things they can do, and you know, arrows in the quiver and blah, blah, blah. Kenny, they've only got one. They print money. It's a question of which they buy, of what they buy with it. I buy bonds one day, I buy my Suburban the next day. It's still printing money. Where's the variety here?
That's correct. It is only, you know, it's funny because they couch it saying they've got so many different options, but you're right. They have so many different options as long as they keep printing money. They can buy anything they want. They can keep throwing money at it. And that's apparently the other thing that lit the market on fire yesterday was that Jay Powell came out and reiterated for anyone who's tone deaf that, you know, he's going to keep throwing it against the wall until it finally sticks and that rates are going to be at zero for as long as you and I are going to remain alive, basically. And so you're right. I don't really know what the other than, you know, they give it a different name. But it's really all the same, right? The Fed prints money and passes it out in different programs, right? They'll call it a different name and they'll say, look, here's another tool in our toolbox. Meanwhile, all they're doing is buying assets, right? They went from mortgages to now ETFs, bond ETFs. What's going to stop them from buying stock ETFs at some point? Nothing.
Well, the gentleman was, I don't think you listened early on when you have other stuff to do, but Brendan was on earlier the first half hour this morning. He's a municipal bond expert because he worked for the Chicago School Board and all kinds of places and for law firms that did that work. And what he said, it's kind of interesting, Kenny, he said, you know, what they've done in the municipal bond area when they were buying muni bonds a few weeks ago, he said they've driven the price up so much that none of the natural buyers, the insurance companies and people like that, we can remotely buy them here. So how does that mean they have to be the only buyer forever? I mean, why would you ever go there? I mean, nobody ever said the municipal bond market was that horrible to start with. Why would you take those and drive a price to where Allstate looks at it and goes, I'm not buying a bond for 1.25% for 20 years. What do you think? I'm nuts. I mean, what is the point? I guess there's an extreme to that. It's like, you know, somebody running a marathon wants water, but if you make him drink a gallon a mile, the guy's dead by the 10th mile. I mean,
I think the mistake they made, because I agree with you, who's going to go in and buy it? They are going to be the only buyer last resort, because I think the problem is instead of being a buyer below the market that everyone knew was there in the event you needed it, they stepped right out and became, you know, the buyer right out in front. They should have been always below the market. Like, you know, they put the floor under the market, right? So if the market really starts to collapse, okay, they're there. But they should be buying it up and then pricing everybody else out of the equation, because that's kind of what they're doing. And that's why a lot of these insurance companies are going to turn around and say, just like you said, this ain't for me. So I think it is going to become a problem, right?
Kenny, you have much more Southside. You have much more connection to the, shall we say, the new monetary theory people. We only have a couple minutes. Back in my day, they were guys like Friedman. And there was this guy that I just read last week. We tweeted a thing out. I don't know if you got it. And I asked Matty to get him as a guest. And he goes, we can't do that. He's been dead for 13 years, so you wouldn't make much of a guess. But the old guys all knew that when you did this, it was like a rush of adrenaline for a while.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, but they all knew that whatever you did, there's repercussions. Why all of a sudden in the last 5 or 6 years, the Larry Summers of the world, the Krugmans, there are no repercussions. Just pour it out there. Helicopter money, what's the difference? In 30 years, we'll forget about it. Where did they, what's the theory behind losing the repercussions? No, nobody, you know, you can drink all the beer you want, and you get a hangover. I mean, there's nothing that is perfect the whole way. I mean, where in the theory did they all of a sudden decide that this is just okay, just print more and more and more?
Yeah, I don't know what they decided. I think I'm not sure it's anywhere in the theory. I think what they've decided, though, is they don't have much of a choice now, right? Started in 2000 during the crisis of 2008 when the Fed, as long as, and the ECB and all these other central banks stepped up to the plate to rescue the financial system from the brink. Okay, I agree. But then it went on for a decade. It went on for way too long before they even started to normalize. And now it feeds on itself. And then this happens. And what are they going to do now? Walk away? They can't walk away now. And so now it's just, let's just print more money. We'll worry about it later. They're not even talking about the potential impact to not only taxes, but inflation.
Yeah.
In my opinion, in a not so distant future.
Well, Kenny, in my lifetime, it was Vietnam. We could never say we were wrong and go back. We had to keep fighting, even though everybody knew it was a lost cause.
Correct.
We're doing the same thing now with this money, and we're doing the same thing with this disease. We'll never say we maybe went a little too far in this, because there's people thinking you'll be wearing a mask 20 years from now. We can't ever back up with these people. We can only go forward.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy, isn't it? I mean, you and I are
trying. By the way, I don't know about you, but I'm not wearing a mask 20 years from now.
We have one in the grave for me, maybe. Anyway, buddy, thank you very much. As usual, have a nice week. Talk to you next week. SP Futures down 5, NASDAQ Futures up 5, so we're pretty much unchanged to put the two together. Home Depot down 3, only 394 now. Walmart up 5. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But if you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty and the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes, have you been frustrated by the lack of income your investments have provided? If you have answered yes to either of these questions, then we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. So please give me a call at 602-298-1278, 602-298-1278, so that I can explain further the benefits that PTI can offer you and your portfolio.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI ProDirect. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Starks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here. What it is.
Welcome back, Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howe. Jack Silver on the board. S&P futures now 950. NASDAQ futures are unchanged. So we've been hacking around here. It's a little bit of a turndown, but
it's currently 705.
But surely not much considering the massive rally we had yesterday. Just as a review, since it was such a nice day, if you were along. Dow was up 911. S&P futures up 90. NASDAQ futures up 220. So we're back, what, one-ninth of that, one-tenth of that. So that's not much of a... Jeff, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. When am I going to see you? I've missed seeing you, actually, in the studio.
I'm ready to bust out. How about you?
You know what? Last night, it finally hit home. I went home. There was no Bulls game to watch. Old Bulls game from the 98 and all those, which I've been occupying myself with. There was no old Cub game on that I saw. I wasn't able to watch the last dance last night because we had some water issues downstairs. So I watched it last night, but... First thing in my mind was, okay, what am I going to do tonight?
Yeah, the last dance is over.
Yeah, the last
literally.
Dance. Yeah.
Right.
I suppose I could grab a book somewhere.
You know, things are loosening up. It's clear. I think our collective psyche has hit the wall, and people are pushing back and ready to get out there a little bit more.
I would say you're correct. I've been as you know, I've been following this stuff as much as anybody, and you have as well. I just get the feeling that an awful lot of people are going to go out of business and have a full life change that I don't think it all had to happen this way. I mean, I just don't. And I, you know.
Well, it's unfortunate. You have to wonder, though, what governors like Pritzker, you know, some of these governors that are still taking these kind of restrictive power stances, you know, you wonder what's behind that. It's Wisconsin that, you know, I find so intriguing right now also. You know, I mean... And also how the media interprets these things and how they continue to make this an unnecessarily partisan battle. I mean, I was looking at Wisconsin's stats today. As of today, there's 459 deaths, 6,700 have recovered. Yet they are really having a brutal battle in that state. And I think the media fans the flames of it. Because, you know, I'm looking at, where is the story? I was looking at a headline story about how if, you know, Wisconsin will kill people if they don't stay under lockdown. And that was printed by CNN. I just saw it here a moment ago. And I just don't understand why this continues to have to be politicized in this manner.
Because it's news, and if people, it's not news. It's entertainment. It's become entertainment. The CNN Fox two step or whatever the hell those people are doing during the day. It's once you go 24 hours ratings driven. I don't think you're anywhere close to being news anymore, Jeff. As a guy who's writing a magazine that actually cares what's in there is being accurate, and I care on the show too. But I got news for you. You're not Time, and I'm not on national radio.
Right.
I mean, the question is, how much will people pay for information? Right now, they're only paying for affirmation, and this is their entertainment.
Hmm. Yeah, well said.
I mean, it's disgusting, but it's, I think it's the truth. But I've sensed a tremendous change in people's attitude because of whatever side they happen to be on and what they're hearing. I'm convinced that all kinds of people now are for the long term now are convinced they can tell other people what to do and how, you know, that if they say you should stay home with a cold, you better. I mean, this is going way beyond anything. And I dug out one of my guys. I don't know if you're on this. I think you are on the Stocks and Jocks. So did you see the thing about the 1968 pandemic, the Hong Kong flu?
No.
Well,
no,
it was,
I did not.
It basically was, if you look at these Indiana numbers, and hopefully those numbers are okay, but I mean, they're the first random sample in this country I've seen. So I'm not saying they're accurate. What I'm saying is if these are the numbers, the numbers from Indiana came down that 2.8% of the population in Indiana has been affected. 1.7 is sick right now, infected right now, and 1.1 has the antibodies, so they're assuming they were infected at one point. And then they have a certain number of deaths. But they found that it's 11 times as many people have been affected as the random, ridiculous testing we have now. Even though now we have some testing, we don't know who the hell's going there. If they already are sick, not sick, just happen to be driving by and see us. I mean, we have no idea what the motivation is. So as a random sample, it's absolutely useless. But anyway, in Indiana, they tried to do this. And so they came out and said, if you look at those numbers, we're talking about 0.5% of the people are dying, which is five times worse than a pretty bad seasonal flu. And it's,
right.
and that's not a good thing, Jeff. Now the question is, I went back and I read about three articles on it and went through Wikipedia on the 68 flu. And it looks to me like because something came by like 2 years before that was somewhat similar, you actually had some people in the population that had some immunity to it. Because if you got the one before, it's H1D3. If you had the D2 3 years ago, you're somewhat immune to this one, even though you weren't totally immune. You know, I don't know anything about that part. I didn't go to that class. But bottom line was, if this is going to be five times worse or six times worse than a regular flu, that was four times, three and a half. So not as bad as this, but, you know, somewhat of a sharp stick in the eye as well. And so they didn't do anything for that. Nothing whatsoever.
That's right.
And, now my question is, if this is how I trade, if a smallpox showed up that didn't, all of a sudden the vaccination didn't work for, would I head for the house? Hell yeah, you know, 40% of the people are going to die. I'm trying to figure out what the number is, what the process is, what does the governor have to do? How long can an emergency that he calls out? And you know what? I cannot. Jeff, I'm telling you, I cannot win this argument with anybody that this country is all about process. That even if you're guilty of sin, killing somebody, you get a trial. Nobody believes that anymore. I mean, not nobody, but nobody I talked to. I said, you know, they said, look at the idiots in Michigan carrying their guns at a state house. I said, you've known me my whole life. You know, I would never do something like that, and I think that's pretty dumb, to be honest with you. But I also know that if we swept away in a month the freedom of religion or freedom of assembly, if I'm a gun guy, I'm a little bit concerned that mine's coming next. Because it looks like we can do whatever we want as long as we have 50 people, not including mayors, that can just declare a state of emergency. And the lady I was arguing with, discussing this with, she goes, well, what's wrong with freedom of religion? You still get to go online. I go, wait a minute. You think that that's okay. The person who's been going and been streaming communion every week and lighting a candle to her mother or for their mother and something, they don't think it's okay. It's not your call. It says freedom.
It's one of those areas that I've really found really, really hard to stomach, some of the restrictions. And I'm not, for what it's worth, I'm not a person of faith, but I've always had respect for those who make that decision. It's just not where my head is. But I don't understand how, first of all, a protected right under the Constitution, freedom of expression, isn't something that, you know, why these churches and synagogues and mosques cannot be trusted to maintain the same social distancing rules that a big box retailer has. It's an argument that you just can't make.
No, you just can't make it. Nor can you make, Costco can do it, but Jeff's Mattress Store can't.
That's absolutely true. You can't make it at all. So let's break it down a little bit. I think it's an I try to do this with somebody who's a hardcore partisan, but, you know, he hit the wall just from frustration. And what I was trying to do was kind of break it down. Why is it falling? Why is it blue states, red states? Why is this Republican versus Democrat or liberal versus conservative thing where you have this overwhelming fall on two different sides of the equation, right? A bit about lockdowns versus, you know, getting out there. So my hardcore, and I was trying to moderate this, but there were some interesting takeaways. So the hardcore leftist liberal friend would think that, well, you know, it's you have a less educated populace that has less belief in science, the science narrative thing, which just really crushes me. You know, in fact, in the next issue of Luckbox, I'm writing an editorial about how there's just some things I'm tired of hearing, that we got to drop these memes, right? Like, we're all in this together, right? What does that even mean? We're not all in this together.
Jeff, didn't
and
one
time... I gave
time...
some examples, you know, the Instacart driver, you know, who comes to your house in masks and gloves is not in it the same way the marketing professional opening the door with his shorts on, or the stay-at-home mother is, who now has kids to watch because she can't go to her salon and restaurant job, but her online teacher is still getting a paycheck.
Yeah.
You know, there's income inequality, cultural differences, geographic differences has made certain that we are not in this together.
Jeff,
people receiving checks have no problem with lockdowns right now, it seems, and the people who work for a living, who need to be outside, are the ones being victimized. You know, the restaurant worker, the salon owner, these people are having problems with lockdowns right now because it's affecting their livelihood. And this "we're all in this together" meme is just has no value. And similarly, I put "new normal" just because it's overused and it's like George Carlin's jumbo shrimp. It's such a contradiction in terms, but following the science, I think, is the term that we just got to stop pretending. It's nothing more than moral grandstanding. You know, I'm ill as an Evanston resident when I walk through my neighborhood and see the virtue signaling on lawn signs from my neighbors. You know, in this house, we believe in science. We don't. It's just so pukey.
Jeff, I remember.
And obnoxious that you have to virtue signal on your own lawn. But the fact is, believe in science, where do we even see that? You know, it's called the novel coronavirus because it's novel.
Yeah.
There's no science. There's nothing comparable.
It's a germ.
The last good data set, the last really comparable one, is about 100 years old. It's novel because there is no science. There are models, and models are always going to be wrong because that's what models do. You can't blame the models. But you can say, you can blame the people who blindly say we have to follow the science. Was Mayor Eric Garcetti in Los Angeles following science when he said you can't golf? Was Governor Whitmer following science when she said you can't mow the lawn or you can't be on your motorboat? Was Fauci following science when he said you can't, or you can go ahead and have a Tinder hookup? Or the World Health Organization when they said that there was no discernible transfer of human-to-human transmission from the Wuhan virus way back in February? Was Trump following science when he talked about ingesting bleach? Let's stop pretending anyone's following science.
You can use whatever
where there
you want.
Is no silence. This is not like climate change, where there is enough data that represents a consensus. This is a novel virus where there is no science.
Why,
there
Jeff?
Is no science.
Why, Jeff?
And it's just used for moral grandstanding and for politicians to kind of pander their own perspective and wrap it up in something that they try to, you know, sell themselves as following science. It's just, and it's being used as a politically charged term, and I'm really tired of it, because all it does in the long run is devalue science.
Well, devalues people's opinion. Why do you think that in general, I mean, not in general, when you talk about, I mean, I had somewhat remembered the 1968 Hong Kong flu. I mean, barely. I was in high school. I remember there was a year when a lot of people were out of class for a while. Why do you think, with all the articles written, with the 24-hour news stations, I mean, the similarities, the numbers, are almost exactly the same in people dying and stuff? 100,000 people died from that. I mean, why is that totally silent in any of the talks? I mean, they're not brought up. Are newsmen just not into history these days? I recall this is going to sound disgusting to anybody, and it should. I remember there was a scientific, allegedly, study. I don't know where it was from. I mean, I don't know if it was from, certainly not from some liberal. I mean, I say liberal, not in terms of liberal or right now, because I don't know where these liberals are, because they're more draconian in terms of telling people what to do than the right. There actually was a study that somebody did, yeah, Jeff.
It's an interesting use of the word term liberal, isn't it?
Well, they are way more. What's the term?
Restrictive. Well, yeah. You know, it surfs into the nanny state notion.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean,
and look, I want to approach this from both perspectives.
Yeah, well,
you know, maybe it's true that the right leaning group on this may be as a whole less educated. It's certainly true that they have less faith in government. But it's also true that they're more entrepreneurial and more independent,
yeah,
and look to rely on themselves to make their own decisions and their own risk decisions. And it's also true that the left has more of a socialist bent to it, that is more willing to give over the authority and control of life and allow a larger group to make value decisions for them.
But this is not any definition of liberal that when I was called a liberal that I had. This is the wacky stuff.
No, or the liberal that I am. I'm a hardcore progressive on social issues. I consider myself to be very, very liberal. But liberal, in that sense, refers to things like, you know, freedom of speech. And,
yeah.
You know, so those concepts have been completely, you know, thrown away by today's liberals.
No, today's liberals, but I was saying, there was a study, believe this or not, there was a study where people measured the heads of black people and white people. Now, alleged scientists. And they came out with the conclusion that black people are dumber because their head measurements are slightly smaller. This was actually allegedly science, Jeff. Just so happens I know an awful lot of really smart black people. The thought of that even beginning to be true, yet some scientist or somebody who claims he had a science degree put his name on it. This had to be like from the 50s or the 40s or something. I mean, can you admit that was quote science? I mean, that's disgusting. Let alone, you know.
Yeah. And I won't go there. But no, that's you know.
But we're at a point right now.
But we've evolved since then. I don't think that would pass scientific study today. But I see your point. You know, following science is as good as the sciences of the moment.
Yeah.
And the simple point is, it's called the novel coronavirus. There is no science to follow. Stop pretending. That appears to be what the liberal sentiment continues to say. We're following science. But meanwhile, look at Fauci. Look at the errors that man has made.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, because he's fallible. He's a scientist. Science tells you what to do.
So you're
No. Science tells you the possible outcome from a scenario. It doesn't tell you what policy to create. Science can create an atom bomb. It cannot tell you whether or not to drop it. Science can look at marijuana and say, yes, the science says it is bad for you. But if we followed science, then we wouldn't be recognizing things like addiction and cultural issues and economic issues that allowed us to make policy decisions that allowed the legalization of marijuana. Science does not dictate policy. It's only an element. That's as stupid, as ignorant, as saying during an economic crisis, we must follow the economists, the economists. That's what follow the science means. It's a ridiculous term, and people got to stop using it.
A young lady moved in downstairs, And because we've had, I've talked to her more than you normally would a tenant, Jeff, only because we've had water issues. So, you know, anyway, it's amazing how floods make strangers.
And that's your story and you're sticking to it.
Well, yeah. And, but I mean, it's all I needed is a granddaughter with flood problems.
Right.
Anyway, but anyway, she's very nice. But it's funny, you do get a point of view, from different people. And I said, I mentioned to her, I said, you know, it's interesting now. I wanted to be, and I would love to have Jeff as my partner. I want to be the guy who introduced these polyurethane screens. So now, wherever you are, somebody has managed to get the polyurethane screen into the conversation whenever you talk about, you know, protecting and so forth, to where, like, every casino has a screen between you and the dealer.
Yeah.
Or a screen between you and the screen between you and the person next to you. And she says, come on, Chief, it only makes sense. And I said, it may look like it's making sense, but nobody has any idea 2 years from now or 10 years from now if that screen between me and the cashier at the Myers did anybody any good at all. Well, come on, it makes sense. Everybody should do it. No, I know that the guy who's making them thinks it makes sense. Never does.
Right.
There's no test whatsoever that says that that anybody's going to get saved. First of all, you can't tell me that a germ has passed that anybody who's gotten the disease at Meijer before there was 6 feet, when there was 6 feet, before there was a mask, after a mask, or whether this thing, after we went with the 6 feet and the mask, does anybody any good. Nobody can tell me any of this stuff. See, well, come on, it just makes sense. No, just because it makes sense to you, that does not mean, and you can very well be right, okay? I don't know that. But the fact is, neither one of us has a friggin' clue, right? Whether this last line of defense, you know, the polyurethane thing with the 6 feet, with the mask, whether that's needed or not. I know that if I'm selling it, it sounds like it's needed. And I wish I was, by the way. Just saying.
Suddenly, Maxwell Smart was making a lot of sense with that zone of silence.
Oh, yeah.
Cone of silence.
I mean, where we're going, you know, it's funny, Jeff, it reminds me, because we were just talking about, with Kenny, talking about different topics. I was asking him, we're talking about the money being poured into the system. And somewhere along the line, I mean, it's interesting, it may sound like I'm shifting topics, but I think you and I know, everything's all the same topic, pretty much. I don't want to, I say this all the time, when I was in grad school, and I got to the, you know, to my last quarter of my MBA program, I think I finally saw the light. I was like Belushi, you know, with the nun. I realized that advanced marketing, advanced accounting, advanced cost accounting, and advanced finance, at that level was really all the same subject. And you couldn't figure out how to do the marketing if you didn't know you were going to get the money. And you couldn't know where you were going to get the money unless you knew how to finance it and go get it. And you didn't know how to do either one of those things unless you could count it. So any one of those fell apart, they all fell apart. Right, so this reminds me. It started to remind me so much, and it's all about people. When Vietnam was becoming a goat bleep, maybe it wasn't a start, but as everybody started to realize it, the politicians could not back up on it. Could not back up on it. And I remember, I cannot find it, but Kathy Durbin, she could find this stuff. She used to help with the show, and now she got a job where she can't. But she sent me a tape from Lyndon Johnson, and Jeff, if you heard this, you would reach for the air sickness bag one, and you'd never trust a politician again in your life. And he's talking.
I must
to some,
have heard it then.
Yeah, well, he was talking to some good old boy from the South, and Lyndon's going, "We can't win this war. We can't win this war." In his usual Texas, whatever the hell he called that accent, nobody likes a loser, Lyndon. Nobody likes a loser. You want to win this election? You can't be pulling out. Nobody likes a loser. The next day, the bleep sent 40,000 more people to Vietnam, and I don't know how many of them didn't come back. And I was talking about this one night over a beer with, I think you've met Robert, maybe you haven't, my buddy from the Fed. And he was an Army brat. And I said something stupid like, you know, even if I get a chance to go to heaven, I want to ask the big guy upstairs, I want half hour in hell, and I want to go find Lyndon Johnson and dot his I. And Robert goes, "You got to take me with you." I go, "What do you mean I got to take you with me?" And he goes, "A lot of those people came from the base I was in. A lot of those people were my friends, and a lot of them didn't come back." I mean, this is serious. This is serious crap, Jeff. And sure. now we look at the money supply, and Kenny was saying, look, every central bank around the world is doing it. The new mentality is you just keep pouring money out there, you keep chasing it after the other because that's the only tool you have. And you know, they used to say at Pullman, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. Don't even think about what might happen down the road. And it's the same thing now with these governors and this COVID. The guy in North Dakota, which he didn't, maybe, well, I'm going to close churches. Next guy, I'm going to close churches and school. It's all politics. And now, these guys, you're not going
to... But what is the politic, though? Who are they pandering to?
They can't ever...
They're not following science. What about this?
They can't
this
ever...
governor yesterday did a press conference on a tennis court saying that you can play singles, but you can't play doubles, and you have to play two courts away from each other, and you must bring your own balls. What the fuck? I mean, yeah. You know... What are we talking about here?
What
is Pritzker talking about?
My message is, what's with him?
What's going on with Lightfoot? Right here in our own hometown.
We only have 30 seconds.
Definitely overreaching.
Well, but my message is, once you do something stupid like that, these guys will never back off. You and I the next day might say, hey, you know, if husband and wife drive out to the golf course together, I guess it's okay. They get in the same car. They'll never do that. Just like Lyndon Johnson never would. Just like these guys with the money never will. We'll pick this up after break. I don't know why, Jeff. That's why we're having this discussion. I'm asking you and you're asking me why. So we're getting nowhere. You're asking me and I'm asking you. Well, I don't know. Maybe if we were governor, we'd act that way too. I sure as hell hope not. SP Futures down 10. NASDAQ Futures up $1.75. Be right back.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Al. Mr. Jack Silverman on the board, and we have our man, Jeff Joseph. I'm sitting here doing 18 different things. SP Futures down 9, NASDAQ Futures up 575. Plus, I'm thinking about what Jeff just said, and I'm trying to formulate a question for him. The Dow Futures down 69. Again, the big news this morning on the earnings is Home Depot down, Walmart up. So Walmart's up 4. Home Depot is down 285. Actually, almost coming back. They were down 6-something. Who knows? Maybe they'll even finish the day up. So the Dow's mixed. Most of the stocks are down, but nothing crazy. The only one, like I said, those are the big movers. Disney's down a dollar. When you go over to Europe, these guys are down a little bit. They were up pretty good yesterday, just like us. DAX down 41. That's 0.4%. FTSE down 32.5%. CAC down 34.6. Over in Asia, we've got some catch-up here to the upside. We've got the Nikkei up 299. That's 1.5%. Shanghai up 23.8. Hang Seng up 453, 1.9. We've got bonds still 0.73, so up a little bit on that yield, but not that much, considering how much the... Still not getting the same story from bonds we're getting from the market. I'm not so sure who's going to win out on that one. Bund, minus 0.43%. They were minus 0.59, so they've come back closer to zero pretty much in the last couple of days. Japan is a positive 0.001, so oil up 57 cents, 32.39 near month. So that's up from a big number. It got down to 11. A lot of that was supply chain problems, but the curve is now, it's still in contango, but very slight compared to where it was. Brent up 16 cents, 34.97. Natural gas up 4 cents, Dow 82. RBAB, Dow 3. We've got gold is up $1.10, 17.35. Gold's actually been in this range for a while. Silver is the one that's been moving, 17.47. It's only up 0.002 cents today. Jack, what do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
We're looking pretty good on the traffic standpoint. We do have some traffic coming from the south on the Edens going into the city. We also do have closures due to flooding on Lower Wacker Drive between Harrison Street and Randolph Street. It is closed due to flooding. On the weather standpoint, it's currently 51 and foggy with a potential of showers. In Phoenix, it is currently 70 degrees and clear with a high of 90. This day in sports, I'm going to fast forward to 2015. The Chicago Blackhawks beat the Anaheim Ducks 3-2 in the Western Conference Finals Game 2 to tie the series up. They eventually go on to win the series in 7 games, 4-3, and they go on to face Tampa Bay Lightning in the Stanley Cup Final where they beat them in 6 games. Chief.
Jeff, let me ask you the question, because I'm sitting here stumbling over traffic, weather, sports, because I'm thinking about what you just said. I'm gonna ask you the question. And I've been saying that the tyranny, in my mind, for the last 20 years, the tyranny's been coming from the left, which is not the left you and I grew up with. This is a new left. But what I'm saying is, whenever you see the governor, and I'll just use him as an example, whenever you hear the governor or the mayor, but let's stick with the governor, say something, he can't somehow just say, we're opening up the golf course. There needs to be some sort of a give back. There's somebody on the other side that says, "Oh, you can't do that. You can't just let people. You got to keep the putting green closed." Okay, why exactly? Oh no, you can't open the driving range. There's somebody else in the room or someplace that wherever he does something like this, there's somebody that has to put restrictions on people somehow. Well, you can't drive a cart. Or you can't do this. Well, you can open up boating. Well, no, you can't have more than two people in a boat. What if it's a family and all four people drove there? It doesn't matter. So, where is this push? Is it his wife in the room? I mean, I'm not accusing him. Is it his chief of staff? Is it some political person that says, you've got everybody afraid, you got to keep them afraid, they love you for it because you're a quote kid. Somewhere, someplace, it's very obvious that this push is coming from. And I have no idea. That's why instead of you asking me and me not knowing the answer, I'm going to ask you. Where is that push?
All right, well, short answer is I don't know the answer either. What if you looked at right-leaning, you know, broadcasts or Fox News, they would say that it's about power, and I don't accept that. I think that's just too simple of a response, that it's part of a power grab, because it still doesn't explain the motivation, and it doesn't explain the manner in which these things are being parsed out. Yeah, because your example's a good example. I think it's this obligation if I were to venture a guess, I think it's this feeling that you don't have full individual liberty to make decisions. You are a part of a broader community, and the community wants you to be. I think it's that fundamental fight that, you know, kind of defines libertarians, you know, of individual liberty and responsibility versus a more socialist community, you know, we're all in this together bull mantra. And I think it's that. I think it's saying, you know, you're still part of us, and to be a player in our community, this is what you're going to have to do, because it's not grounded in science or reason, and it's just authoritative. You know, it makes no sense at all. You're absolutely right about that. And so why do they feel compelled to do that? I think that's it. I think the subtle messaging here is that you don't have individual liberty, because that's what this all comes down to. Look, this virus is serious. It's killing people. And it's killing people with comorbidities. It's killing people with obesity. It's killing people, you know, with respiration or you know, breathing issues. It's killing older people. And guess what? They should stay home. They need to stay home. It's not killing 20s and 30-year-olds in any great volume that would suggest anything more than what we've seen from a flu or other diseases. And when it comes down to it at this point, now that the curve has been flattened, which was the first objective, people should be able to make their individual decisions as to how much risk they want to accept. Because it's not true, this stupid mantra, oh, you're killing people when you go out. No. No, it's not true. The people that shouldn't go out that go out, they're killing themselves.
Yeah.
But other people walking around who are properly distancing and being safe and wearing masks where they should and doing all the right things, they're not killing anybody.
But even you.
People should make their own personal decisions, but that's not what I guess this new left wants.
But even
people
you,
to make their own decisions about risk.
Even you are.
And I think that's where the fundamental divide is, because there's something about personal liberty and individual freedom that has become now owned by the right. It used to be owned by those of us on the left.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
we wanted our right to make our own decision about drugs and about who we marry and you know, that used to be a liberal thing, that we could make our own decisions. We didn't want anyone telling us what to do. But now I guess the left wants to tell people what to do.
Well, even you were saying, I need to go out. While this is happening, if enough people feel badly enough, on the mask part, as much research as I've done, the only way I see that helps anybody is if I somehow contracted it. Of course, I'd probably know right away because I'm not 20 years old. If I somehow contracted it, didn't know I had it, for the first 3 or 4 days I have it, from what I've read, I'm popping out big time COVID germs. So if that ever were to happen to me, I guess I could protect somebody else by wearing a mask in the unlikely event that that happens for a while.
That's right.
But
that's
not forever. But, you know, it's funny. There's a, before they closed the bar over at the Buckingham, there's a guy in there, typical, you love him, Jeff. He's retired. Of course, he's somewhat retired because now, I don't know, his son-in-law ditched out on his daughter. I don't know whatever happened, but he's watching the kids a couple days a week. So he's not really retired. He'd probably rather be back at work, right? So he's still working 3 days, kind of part-time. Anyway, he's telling me, I go to the playground, you know, his grandpa, and he goes, you know, there, you know, snow, it snows, and all of a sudden, four or five of the boys are in a snowball fight, and they're kind of wrestling in the snow. He goes, there's nothing wrong with this. He goes, this is what males do. He goes, you wouldn't believe the hue and cry at the playground. Oh man, those kids are, they're putting them all in timeout and all this kind of stuff. You shouldn't be throwing something. He goes, that's what recess is for. What he goes, what is with these people? are we denutting the entire society? We don't want any males anymore? We don't want anybody to play? We don't want anybody to play basketball? We don't want to play football in the backyard when they're 8 years old? I mean, I did that every day, Jeff, and I'm not so many kind of big time athlete. That's what young males did, and some of the girls played baseball as good as the guys, so they wanted to play too. It's what are we doing here?
And then it gets mean and it gets angry. Again, this, I'm speaking as an old liberal here. You know, I had one of my editors for Luckbox Magazine who wanted to make a reference in a story to the, you know, the comedy of people who were, you know, protesting lockdowns and then contracted the virus and died. And you see that, see what happens by not listening. And I killed that story because it's just so wrong. Because invariably, I would think that the person, you know, if I had to guess and I have to place the odds on it, that these people that are protesting lockdowns are just not people that just don't like big government, but they're people that are economically, you know, challenged right now because they can't work. They can't work their job. You know, my guess overall is that those fortunate ones of us who you know, have an income or have wealth or have a check or have a government job, you know, they don't, you know, sure, they're happy with the lockdowns because it's not costing them anything. But my guess for the most part is it's the small business owner, the strip mall shop owner, the salon worker, the restaurant worker, all these people who are out of work, they want to get back to work. So if they choose to be protesting a lockdown and subsequently die from catching the virus, I don't find that a funny story. I find that a tragic story.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's how far some of this insensitivity is going.
I'll use a name because she's bothering the hell out of me. I get stuff for her twice a week about how safe you're supposed to be. It's my alderman, Michelle Smith. And I know her, and I've called a couple times because I was trying to get...
Oh, you forwarded that email, I think, to me.
Is that disgusting?
Is that the...
Yeah, yeah. Is that disgusting?
Oh, it's crazy. Asking your children... Was that the one about that you should have your children wear masks in the playground?
Yeah, yeah.
I sent that on too. It was just crazy. What are these people thinking?
Well,
again,
it's not science.
All right, so stop pretending it is.
No, I'm gonna say that she and the four or five people that work for her, all because you got this massive budget those people have. I'm gonna say for them to make any decision for me, and for anybody who's out of work. Fortunately, I mean at PTI we're still working, but I feel awful for the people who aren't. But God, I'd even feel worse if I was one of them, obviously. I mean, I want to cut her pay off and her people's pay because I think that's the only way. It's not that I don't want her to be able to have dinner. I don't. It's not me. Everybody knows that. I don't think her mentality, her decision-making process is proper when she's getting paid telling people that aren't getting paid what to do. I don't think you can do that. I don't think somebody can walk into a room where everybody's freezing in a down coat telling people it's not so bad. That's just me. I mean, am I wrong?
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, I mean, Jay Pritzker and all the people around him, one of my buddies from Naperville, this kid, I don't know, he's maybe, what's Little League age, 12, 11, something like that. He's a good baseball player. And by the way, they're not happy with them canceling baseball this summer. And He says he's doing classes from home. You know, he says the teacher probably leaves her house, he or she, probably a she. I don't know, probably as many guys now, but leaves his house 7:30, goes home 4:30. Now he's online from 9 to 11:30 and from 1 to 2, getting full right. paycheck.
That's
well,
right.
Well, duh. And yep. all the rest of the people at the school, I mean, is the nurse getting paid? Is the teacher's assistants getting paid? I mean, most of these schools have half as many indirect people as they have direct people.
Meanwhile, the single parent who's relied on the school to basically be daycare and to educate and keep their kids safe while they're working doesn't have a job, you know, and has their children at home. You know, doesn't have a source of income.
Right, you can't go to the playground.
You know, real economic hardship that's going to come out of this. I mean, you know, this whole debate about a V or U-shaped recovery, I think it's really naive for those who are really feeling the pressure right now. There's 35 million people out of work right now. Most of them come, you know, these restaurant and shop owners and manufacturing jobs and you know, the laborers are, you know, this is going to end up widening income inequality. It's going to end up widening the divide. And quite frankly, some of these issues play well into the same type of thing that elected President Trump in 2016.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can't, I mean, I almost get the feeling that Walmart, Amazon, and maybe five people went and stuck stock in all these people's pockets because they're burying other people to push those people forward. But I wanted to ask you, as you sort of went down that road, this particular question, why do you think, though, Jeff, is that, again, I mentioned this book to you, and I love it because it had a million things in there that I had thought one way for 50 years, and all of a sudden I read this book and I was wrong on like half of them, you know, so whenever that happens, you have pretty much respect for the author. We managed to have, in retrospect, everybody will tell you what caused the Great Depression. They're going to say the crash of 29. Almost without if you're a monetarist, they're going to say the Fed let the money supply drop 27% in 6 months after the crash or 2 years later, and that's what happened. Well, either one of those, but not many people have read, and I didn't until this point, that the entire agricultural area of the country was in a depression from 1920 on. In the whole roaring 20s, those guys were, you know, they were the part that came over the fence last. And it was constantly creeping, until finally it enveloped other people, railroads, everybody else. And the 29 crash was just kind of a symptom of over-leveraging, all the same thing that causes stuff, but there was this deep underside to it that made it more of a depression than a recession. Now, in the last 10 years, I mean, I've had people on the show that say the economy has been fine, especially some people from the right. Yet, I can give you numbers that say since 2000, the mean income, if you take the bottom 70% of society, certainly the bottom 50%, they've had nothing but problems for the last 20 years in terms of no savings, mortgage rates, increased property taxes. If you're not getting hospitalization from work, you're screwed. The difference between a family making 50 grand a year, getting their hospitalization paid for, or not getting it paid for is like being on easy street and being broke. And there was an article that I managed to lose, Jeff, since I stopped running them all off because my brother said I was killing too many trees. There was an article that said in the last 10 years, the average wage increase of pretty much, even if you're insured, and I'll say I'll just lob one on you, Luckbox Magazine, say you were here for 10 years, that the increases you gave people, even if you're giving them, if you're providing health care, the amount that you've asked them to contribute, either with higher deductibles or like a couple hundred a month or whatever, has been higher than people's pay raises in the last 10 years. Even if you're covered, maybe 10 years from now you didn't have to pay anything and now it's $150 a month. Well, $150 a month is higher than most people's wages were. So the idea that somehow this economy worked for everybody versus now is not, it's like this rainstorm this weekend. You've hit floods on people when they're broke, when they're not working. Can you pick a worse time for a flood than when you got a 30% unemployment? I mean, how much of this, and now we got not to mention the virus, not to mention, you know, other stuff that's going on. I mean, I don't think, Jeff, that the idea of, I think there already is a depression in a lot of areas in this country. It has been for a while. And you know,
by the way, what's the book you're making reference to?
Oh, Freedom from Fear. William Kennedy. It's the history of the U.S. You know, it's one of those with 8 footnotes a page, so it takes you a chapter is all you can handle before falling asleep, and it takes us all the way from the 20s through the war, and there was stuff in there. I mean, I had no idea, even stuff about the atomic bomb. I never knew we had 250,000 people working on that project. It's amazing stuff, and some of the stuff you hear was in how Roosevelt was such a singular. I'll just lob this one out there. That something like 5 or 6 Nobel laureates somehow escaped, and one of the mistakes, you know, thank God, Hitler made was letting these people all get out of there. So Enrico Fermi, all those people came here. They somehow were not captured, neither put into slave labor or worse. So in one of the days, Enrico Fermi gets here and he's talking about, he gets himself an appointment with an admiral. And he's waiting outside of the admiral's office, and, you know, what's below him, a captain or something. He says, who's out there? And he says, some wop with some crazy idea about a bomb was the answer. Can you imagine that in today's world? So the admiral totally brushed him off. And the only reason he knew somebody who was a friend of Eleanor Roosevelt's. And Eleanor Roosevelt somehow got him on because Franklin had people come and see him, because he couldn't go anywhere. He was in a wheelchair. Had people come and see him, like, on the every half hour, sometimes the 15 minutes. And that's how his mind worked. He just learned from people. That was his shtick. And, he listened to other people, unlike maybe some people since then. And so she got this guy an interview with Roosevelt, and he says, you know, there's this guy from Italy here. He's talking about this bomb. The power in this thing is unbelievable. The dude's a Nobel Prize winner. You better listen to him. So I think Roosevelt had an interview with him himself. But he put his entire, Roosevelt started the entire bomb project off this interview that the admiral refused to have. I had no idea something like that happened, Jeff. And what if it didn't? Would we've had to invade Japan, still be there? For God's sake. I'm not saying I'm all for dropping atomic bombs on people, but, I mean, you know, what if it didn't? I mean, and even then we had people who were idiots. Some wops out here waiting for you. Yeah, the guy's a Nobel Prize winner. Can't you give him a hair of respect? I mean, you would think, right? But people didn't, and people don't. I mean, so there's a lot of things in there I never understood the push between wanting people in the army versus people in industry, and the generals essentially fighting with the people who were building planes and so forth, because it was our labor was our problem. They never made it to a 4 million man army. They only got to 2 or 2.5 because industry said, I can't let these people go. So I mean, all the stuff you would never even dream of that were fights back and forth is all kind of in this book, or some of it's in there, stuff I'd never read before. So it's fascinating to me.
Interesting.
And anyway, so Jeff, how do we, given the fact that there's this push, do you think these guys are capable of ever saying, you know what, it's normal, do what you want to do? I don't see that ever coming out of Jeff or Jay or Lori's mouth. I honestly don't. Will I?
Yeah, perhaps. As more data emerges, I mean, you know, look at the parallel between DeSantis in Florida, which, you know, the media, of course, is so willing to trash because he opened up the beaches early and opened up Florida early. Yet, you know, they're not. And I know, you know, both in Georgia and Florida, I think the media was almost cheerleading for something to go wrong there. But you know, looks like they called it right. And then look at New York. Look at Cuomo, 83% approval rating, media darling, 5,500 deaths in nursing homes. More deaths in nursing homes in New York than, you know, than occurred entirely in New Jersey. And it's all because of some politically correct policy that said you couldn't test people before being allowed into a nursing home. And he's just devastated this older nursing home population. Complete mismanagement by de Blasio and Cuomo, yet somehow He's a media darling with an 83% approval rating. And then DeSantis was getting trashed for opening beaches earlier, even though the rate keeps on falling there and their economy is starting to resume itself. It's just unbelievable the perspective, how, you know, these kind of self-affirmation biases, particularly perpetuated by the media, that is allowing people to look at the same data through completely different prisms.
Well, that guy buried those people in the nursing home. We're running out of time, Jeff, but there's no question. Sending people home to nursing homes obliterated that population. I mean, how that is, it just...
Yeah.
I mean, you and I know that. It's pretty obvious. SP Futures down 5, NASDAQ Futures up 10. Jeff, thank you. Hey, when's the next edition coming out?
June 1st. Look
right,
for the next edition, the new order. We're talking about what lies ahead in certain industries.
Well, next week, day after Memorial Day, we'll talk about it.
All right.
All right, buddy. We'll be back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.